Supplying the camera.
Nope, this camera is looking at you.
Oh, that camera's looking at me. Oh, okay. All Okay. Well, for anybody who doesn't know me, I'm John Shaw, a retired physics faculty member. I retired 8 years ago. And I found Medicare very confusing, and that's the reason that I put together a short introduction to Medicare, short meaning 4 pages, that is available on the NorthwestRetirees.org website for download as a PDF. And the purpose of this is to give you enough information that you can read the Medicare book and understand what it's saying. Because
Yes.
Medicare would, for the uninitiated, is seems very, very, it's very different from the policies you're used to. Today I'm here mainly to talk about the changes that are going into place for 2025. The biggest change is that there will now be a $2,000 cap on prescription drugs. And this cap, though, you have to remember, only applies to drugs that are in your covered by your insurance company. If the drug is not covered, then there's no cap on that particular drug. Also, do not confuse this. This is only for prescription drugs. There still is no cap in Medicare B. And if you want a cap in Medicare B, then you must get a supplemental policy, or you have to have a Medicare Advantage policy. Most Medicare Advantage policies have a cap of $5,000. And but I'm not a big fan of Advantage policies. I read an article last year in the AARP magazine that talked about Medicare Advantage and indicated that people frequently have buyer's remorse when they get into their late 70s. That is when most people end up having great need of various medical procedures, and they discover that their policy doesn't cover many of these medical procedures, whereas Medicare does. I just found out last week, I talked to somebody last week who left their private, found out their private policy did not cover cataract surgery. And so they changed to Medicare, which does cover cataract surgery. Right now, you're seeing a lot of ads on TV for Medicare Advantage programs that talk about vision and dental and hearing that Medicare doesn't cover. And if you read the manual, the Medicare manual, they say they don't cover vision, dental, and hearing. However, this is misleading. What they don't cover in vision is they do not cover eyeglasses or cap or contacts in the exams you have to get prescriptions for those. I, however, get annual eye checkups. They do cover glaucoma tests and macular degeneration tests, and they do cover cataract surgery. So vision that they don't cover is simply eyeglasses. When it comes to dental, I'm not aware of anything that they really covered there. But when it comes to hearing, again, they don't cover hearing aids or the test. However, if you go to an annual physical now, that annual physical for Medicare now includes a hearing test and an eye exam. And so you have to understand that the book is like 120 pages long, and it will tell you most of what you need to know, but it doesn't tell you everything there is to know. Okay. As I said, the big change for 2025 is this $2,000 cap on prescription drugs. Other changes, have to do with the various deductibles that you pay and the coinsurance that you pay, and I'll go over that now. I'll briefly describe for the uninitiated what we're talking about. When you sign up for Medicare, there's Part A insurance that covers hospitalization, skilled nursing facility care, hospice care, and home health care. But you have to be admitted to the hospital for Medicare A to cover your hospital expenses. It does not cover emergency room, outpatient surgery. That's covered by B. And for A, for inpatient hospital care, the deductible is now $1,676 for the first 60 days. If you stay longer than 60 days, it is $419 per day, coinsurance for days 61 to 90. And it's $838 per day, coinsurance for any of the 60 lifetime reserve days you use. You get 60 lifetime reserve days that you can use at any time that you want. Beyond that, you have to pay for everything. Okay? Again, if you want to extend these numbers and have more care in the hospital, you will need to get a supplemental policy. For skilled nursing care, there's no cost for the first 20 days and a $209.50 per day coinsurance for days 21 to 100. And beyond that, you pay for everything. Do not think that you're going to get through your old age without needing some skilled nursing facility care at some point. If nothing else, you may end up needing it for rehabilitation from surgery. For hospice care, you pay nothing. For home health care, you pay nothing. For home health care, Part B also covers home health care, but the limits determined on a case-by-case basis. Basically, for home health care, you negotiate with Medicare. Medicare understands that one of the virtues of Medicare, most private insurance companies have figured this out as well, is that preventative care saves them money. And home health care is a lot cheaper than nursing skilled nursing care. So they generally do whatever they can to help you. Now, when they say home health care, they're talking about providing for medical services that you may need in the home. My father had some for wound care, had a nurse come in to dress wounds on a regular basis. So that's an example of the kind of home health care they're talking about. Now, what about Part B? Part B is the part of Medicare that covers your doctor bills, outpatient surgery, emergency room care, and that type of thing. You pay a premium for B. That premium in 2025 will be $185 per month. And if you sign up, when you sign up for Medicare, they just automatically deduct that premium from your Social Security. Now, on top of this, you also have a deductible and coinsurance. The deductible for Part B is $257, and the coinsurance is 20%, provided the doctor accepts what they call assignment. What assignment means is that the doctor accepts the limits that Medicare imposes on what they can bill for a certain procedure. Okay. Now, Medicare does allow the doctors to not accept assignment and still be considered Medicare doctors. If they don't accept the assignment, they are allowed to charge up to 15% more in what are called excess Part B expenses. So you can end up paying, if they're not on assignment, you can end up paying essentially a 35% coinsurance. Okay. Now, you will not have to worry about that if you stay here in Maryville, where you find doctors that charge the excess Part B expenses is in large cities. I have friends in Kansas City that occasionally run into a doctor that charges these excess Part B expenses. And of course, you can buy supplemental insurance that will cover those expenses as well. And I consider supplemental insurance, if I haven't said it's already a necessity, because given the fact that there is no cap in Medicare, almost any serious medical procedure will run you into your cap. It's just unbelievable how expensive some things are. My father had open heart surgery, bypass surgery. He told me this was in about 2008, and he told me later his hospital bills and doctor bills were over $100,000. So it's easy to run into a cap. You don't want to have 20% co-insurance on a $100,000 hospital bill. Okay, that pretty much covers the changes in terms of dollar amounts. There's one other thing that I really want to emphasize. There are two reasons that I got into this. One was the fact that there's, to make sure people understand, there's no cap in Medicare. I read through that 120-page manual three times because I was looking right before I retired, because I was looking for a cap, and I just assumed that there was one, but I just hadn't found it. If you think I'm slow, other people have said that. Okay, somebody else would have figured that out after reading it twice, but I had to read it three times before I went, my God, there's no cap. The other reason, and this is extremely important. You have, when you if you retire at 65, you have 7 months to enroll in Medicare, starting 3 months before you turn 65 to 4 months after. This is called the initial enrollment period. During that initial enrollment period, you want to sign up for A, B, you want to sign up for Part D, and you want to sign up for supplemental. This is what happens if you don't do that. Now, Part A, you get. That's what you've been paying for your whole life. So that you get, period. But if you decide, say, you want to save some money and get a Medicare Advantage plan, and then later you decide you're not happy with that plan, and so now you go back to Medicare. For Part B, you're going to pay a 10% per year penalty. So let's say you decide this at age 75. That's 10 years. So you're going to pay a 100% penalty. So instead of paying $185 per month, you're going to pay twice that every month for the rest of your life. For Part D, if you postpone that, you say, well, I don't need any prescription drugs this time. I'll wait until I need prescription drugs to get Part D. You pay a 1% per month penalty. That's 12% per year. And you pay that. That penalty is on the what they call the base amount, which is sort of an average of the cheapest Part D policies, which right now is around $35. So if you wait 10 years, you're going to pay 120% higher than the base amount for on top of whatever your cost is. And if you don't get a supplemental, when you get a supplemental during that 7 month period, they cannot ask for any medical information. Everybody's insured the same. But if you postpone, they can now ask for medical underwriting. And they can just flat out deny you coverage. They can just say, we will not insure you because of your pre-existing conditions. There are only four states that have laws that require them to insure you, and that's Maine, Connecticut, Massachusetts, and New York. If you're not in those four states, they can deny you coverage, or if they do cover you, they can charge whatever they want. They can charge you a lot of money. So it's important to get this supplemental policy during that initial enrollment period. If you decide you're going to work past the age of 65, so you decide, yeah, I'm feeling good, I'm going to work to 70 or whatever, The next enrollment period will begin the month that your whatever insurance your employer is providing runs out. And that initial enrollment period is an eight-month period. Okay. And when it comes to enrolling in Medicare, the best thing to do is contact Social Security, go to your Social Security office. They will help you with all of the information on how you get enrolled in these various things. It's done online. You can change Part D prescription plans every year during the what they call the open enrollment period, which runs from November October 15th to December 7th. And I certainly recommend getting online and looking at that because yours will change and others may be better. And you can do that without paying any penalty, assuming you've got Part D in your initial enrollment period. Then you can make changes without penalty. If you decide to change your supplemental policies come with letters. There are various letters, A, B, C, the letter of the different ones. So these are private insurance companies, but Medicare regulates what the policies will cover. And if you have to realize all private insurance policies are regulated by the states as well as by the federal government. In the state of Missouri, you can make changes in your supplemental policy from one company to another for the same letter plan, and the company has to accept you. But if you make changes in the letter, you decide, well, I want a different letter plan this time. Well, now you will be subject to medical underwriting. Okay? If you move to a different state, now that comes under federal guidelines, and you have a similar rule. If you keep the same letter plan, then you can get one without having to pay, any medical underwriting. But if you again go to a different letter plan, then you're subject to medical underwriting. The point here is this: during that initial enrollment period, you're going to make some decisions you could be forced to live with for the rest of your life. So it's very important to give this careful consideration. And it's important to read that 120-page book. If you read my introduction, you'll be able to skim the book much more rapidly. There's a whole chapter on what your rights are and how to appeal. All you really need to know is the title of the chapter is, okay, I have rights to appeal various medical decisions. There are procedures for doing this. That's all you really need to know. You don't need to read that whole chapter at this time. There's also an awful lot of exceptions to things. And depending upon, I don't know what it is about railroad employees, they get exceptions for certain things. People with certain medical conditions, there are exceptions for Medicare. And the book is filled with all of these exceptions. And again, you will be able to skim over that stuff very quickly. It does not take as long as you might think to go through that book because of that. And I certainly recommend it because this is a very important decision to be faced with. Thank you. And I'm open to questions.
I remember going through there was a chart.
There's a chart on
Chart in
page, yeah,
there.
there's a chart on page 76 of the 2025 that summarizes the different supplemental plans in a very straightforward way. It makes it very easy to
Very
make a
easy to
decision,
compare.
very easy to compare and make a decision. Basically, most people fall into one of two categories. When it comes to insurance, they either like to they like to have very low deductibles and low co-insurance. They want to pay a bunch of money so they don't have to pay much. Okay? And then there are those at the other end that sort of go, well, I want to keep my insurance costs down. I can afford the high deductibles and that type of thing. And so they go, that's usually people fall into one of those two camps. And 50% of the people who, get a supplemental, half of them get the most expensive, which is at this point is G. Used to be F. Okay. But F since 2020 is not allowed. The reason I want to share the reason for that because it's very illuminating. F, the only difference between F and G, they cover everything. F also covers the deductible for Part B, which is $257 in 2025. So that covers that. Okay. Well, what was happening is, and I noticed this when I made comparisons, is that the F policies at the time, when you compare the F to G, if you add up the 12, the difference in price, you were paying more than the deductible in order to get them to pay the deductible. And people were too lazy to take the time to add up the numbers to see whether it's worth paying for F in order to cover this deductible. If they did, they would have seen that they were paying more. So Medicare just stepped in and said, we're not going to let private insurance companies rip people off this way. So they did away with F, they did away with B. Now you will still see them listed in the book because they grandfathered in those that were already on F and C. But that's just an example. You really need to, take the time to learn stuff so that you don't end up getting wrong, But that's, I always found that very humorous. Yeah, G is the most expensive now. And basically, it covers everything.
I'll add that it truly does. We have G, and you may know Jackie's had quite a few medical issues this year, and so have I, and we have paid nothing but premiums and
Yeah.
$150, something like
Yeah.
that. And so G plus G has a foreign travel category too. It'll cover it part.
Yes, G covers foreign travel. And also, G is, I think, the, let me double check here. I want to make sure I'm telling you the right thing. G is the only one that covers Part B excess charges. If you're planning on living in a big city, you may think it's the only one that covers Part B excess charges. There are a number that cover a port 80% of foreign travel. C, D, F, G, M, and N all cover 80% of foreign travel.
Evacuation from a
It
foreign travel.
says it's foreign travel emergency up to plan limits. So again, you'd have to look into the manual or you'd have to call them. And I certainly recommend calling the Medicare number. You're going to probably, okay, this is what happened to me when I had the, I don't know how they get your birthday, but anyway, you're going to start getting, if you're coming up on 65, you're going to start getting calls from these different companies and they'll say, I'm a Medicare advisor. Well, they're a Medicare advisor for a private insurance company. Nobody from Medicare is going to call, period. Nobody from Medicare is going to contact you, period. This is your responsibility, not theirs. They do have a helpline number, and it's worth calling if you have any questions. When it comes to how to enroll in Medicare, you can actually call and make an appointment with Social Security Administration, and they will go through it with you. And I ended up going over there. It can be very confusing. The sign up can be really confusing. But yeah, the supplemental plans are very easily compared on page 76 of that book. They have a very nice table and you can compare them very easily. And they're definitely worth it. All of them cover 100% of the Medicare Part A coinsurance and hospital cost up to an additional 365 days after Medicare benefits are used. So you get a whole year of extra coverage with no co-insurance. That alone, to my mind, makes Medigap worth it. Plus, you have caps on your Part B. And, so it's there's just It covers one, most of them cover 100% of the coinsurance for Part B, except for the cheaper ones. K and L, K only covers half, and L covers 75%, but K and L have caps. For K, it's $7,060, and for L, it's $3,520. So, like I said, you get caps on this if you, and this is the way you get a cap.
This is, you just mentioned a term. You just said Medigap, and then earlier you said supplemental. Are you talking
Medigap
about
and
the same thing?
supplemental are the same thing, yeah.
For the
They're called the, yeah,
companies.
some people call it Medigap policies because they fill the gaps in Medicare, but they're also called supplemental policies. In the Medicare book, I'll flip back and forth between those terms, yeah.
I should have looked just
Yeah, sure.
watching this. Unfamiliar.
It's,
What books
yeah,
are you
labels
reading?
to the book. Where, oh, here we go, yeah. They will send you the book when you retire. But after the, I don't think they mail them out to you anymore after.
I
You got yours? Okay. I must.
got 2025.
Oh, okay. I guess I can't. They sent me something and said if you want, you can get this by email, by PDF, and that's what I do. So I don't get the hard copies anymore. You know.
Bloodites. We want people.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to send us two this year. My
Oh,
just sent us
well,
one. Yeah.
yeah. Okay. All right. Yes.
They're going to
John, I have a question that you might be able to answer, and it has to do with the prescription drug cap. We
Yes.
have a separate prescription drug policy, and boy, our premiums almost doubled into going into 2025.
Yeah, mine went up a whole bunch too. They've all gone up. But I did check. Okay, I've got some information on that. I got online. I have some information on the oh, stuff down. Okay, yeah. If you get on there, there's 13 drug plans listed now, and they vary in price from $20.76 to $142.20. I went through them, and I was very surprised because they all mentioned that they don't raise prices with age. So, in other words, you're not going to pay more for prescription drugs because you're 75 and you didn't live 65. And when I looked at mine, what I have, it's basically, yeah, it's the same as what they have on there. But I'm going to be changing mine to a different one. For exactly the reason you said is because the price has simply gone up so much in this going into next year, and I will be changing to one of the cheaper ones. Again, it comes down to the same thing. You will find there are 14 drug plans offered by six different companies.
The state of Missouri, is that one?
This is for the area code 64468.
Okay.
Remember,
Gotcha.
yeah, you got to, when you sign up for these things, it's by area code. And those are the companies that cover 64468 are WellCare, Cigna, Humana, SilverScript, UnitedHealthcare, and Blue. And so a number of these, three of these companies have three different plans. They'll have a high deductible plan, a low deductible plan, and a medium deductible plan, And so the high deductible plans, of course, are the cheaper ones. And something you need to know, that something that, yeah, that everybody needs to know about this is if your drugs are tier one, most of these will cover those drugs the cost of those drugs without waiting, without going into the deductible. So you won't have to reach the deductible before they pay for it. They'll just, if you have tier one drugs on prescription, they will simply pay for them. I'm an example of somebody that, yeah, both of the drugs I take are tier one, and they're paying in full, and without, no matter what the deductible is. And but yeah, that it's worth checking the getting online and checking the Part D every year, and seeing what, that's the best way that you can control your drug expenses. It's just
Well,
change.
you want to compare plans too, because some will cover some drugs
That's
and
right.
others.
Well, when you, this is one website that is, I, you know, is really good. And because when you go on to the website, they first thing you have is enter your zip code. Then you also enter the pharmacy that you want to get your drugs through. And then you list the drugs that you're taking. And so you don't have to go to these insurance companies and ask them for a list of the drugs they cover. Medicare does that for you, and they will give you a list of the companies that are covering your drugs. So when I checked this out, I went on and I didn't list any drugs so that I could get a list of all the companies offering. And that's what I have here. And you'll have 14 come up. And if you have no prescriptions at all, there's 14 of them that cover this area. And when you put your prescriptions in, it'll eliminate those companies that don't cover those drugs, and it will not appear online. So that it's very, very easy to do the Part D. It's very, very convenient.
Talking about the Medicare website. Okay.
Yeah,
So
Medicare.gov.
are you saying that that checks their formulary for each insurance company?
That's
So
right.
I don't have to go
You
to
don't have,
their
yeah, you
formulary.
don't have to go to their formula. Medicare does it for you. Yes.
So how will that cap work, John? If we will we just be notified, or will the payments be adjusted if we hit that cap? Do we have to do anything? Do we have to keep
No,
track of?
you don't have to do anything. It's automatic. Yeah, once you hit the cap, they have to pay for everything after that.
And as long as it's going through.
You have no expenses beyond the cap. If you hit the cap, you've obviously fulfilled your deductible. And the deductible applies towards the cap. Once you hit the cap, that's it. You don't pay anything more for that year. Now, every
Right.
year it starts over again. The cap is an annual cap.
Good.
Okay.
Okay.
I want to thank everybody.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John. I hope some people watch this because it can be quite helpful. You were right at the beginning. It is so complicated. And if you try to do it on your own, you just end up banging
Yes, you need help.
the
Yes.
wall.
And Social Security is very helpful. They were very helpful.
Gets better after you.
Yeah, once you get used to it, but it's just so different than the private insurance that you're used to at the university.
Yeah.
And because the limits in Medicare are not dollar limits, they're time limits. And they do that because then Congress doesn't have to keep upping the limit each year, the dollar limit each year. They don't have to pass a bill that just automatically, as the prices increase, the dollar limit automatically increases because the limits are in time. And then the fact that they don't have a cap, I found just amazing. That's a huge gap.
Terminology is
It's very
different.
expensive. The terminology is different.
Yeah.
It's just, it's can be very confusing. And that's why I wrote the introduction that I wrote, so you can familiarize yourself with the terminology and everything, and then make reading the book is much easier.
Thank you, John. We appreciate your help.
Thank you. You're welcome.